The Sunday before Easter is known as both Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday, when the emphasis is on Palm Sunday, the liturgical color is purple. When the emphasis is on Passion Sunday, the color is red. In either case, this Sunday marks the beginning of Holy Week, a time in the church year when we remember how Christ gave his life in love for the world. Palm Sunday recalls Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Typically, as such a service would begin, palms are waved to reenact the Jerusalem crowd wanting to crown Jesus as king. But as the story unfolds, their shouts of praise turn to demands for his crucifixion. He receives a crown of thorns as he's handed over to be mocked and killed. Passion Sunday recalls the events that unfold over the next few days, especially Jesus' suffering and death, events collectively named the Passion, from a Latin word meaning to suffer. Jesus underwent his passion as a condemned prisoner. But as Luke's account makes clear, Jesus is no ordinary condemned prisoner. Normally, a prisoner would be the epitome of helplessness. You're told to go where you do not wish to go. You're told to do what you do not wish to do. But Jesus, the prisoner, does not come across as helpless. In fact, he seems to be the only one who's in control of the situation. He's the one who leads the way to the Mount of Olives. He's the one who prays and tells his friends to pray. He takes the initiative with Judas, who betrays him. And when the crowd comes to arrest him, he stops the disciples' resistance almost before it begins. Jesus is not taken. He hands himself over. He's not resigning himself to the inevitable. He's taking charge. During the trial, he does not allow himself to be bullied. He reminds his accusers of his true authority. Throughout the ordeal, there is this extraordinary sense that the one on trial is somehow orchestrating the trial. Jesus refuses to engage Pilate. In the face of unfolding injustice, he says just three words. But his silence is neither stubbornness nor despair. It is a strategy for moving events toward his ultimate goal. Pilate becomes confused. Herod becomes frustrated. The religious leaders scream and scream again, trying to take control of the situation. A real criminal is set free. a bogus charge of sedition is filed, a capital crime. Yet Jesus remains the calm conductor. Now, when I say calm, I do not mean dispassionate. Far from it. The fact that Jesus was nailed to a cross expresses to us that Jesus knows the depth of human experience. He is described as a man who suffered and who knew pain firsthand. If Jesus was affected by normal human things such that he wept, he got tired, thirsty, even angry, how much more would he be affected by a painful and unjust execution? Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, tells us that Jesus emptied himself of his divine prerogatives in order to completely identify with our humanity. There's nothing in human experience that is strange to Jesus. There is no hurt that is outside his sympathy. But Luke does show us that Jesus is not overwhelmed with despair. He's not flailing helplessly, being swept along by events. Rather, he has it together. When he speaks, his mind is clear. He is focused on what he has come to do. He is cognizant of the impact of his mission on ordinary people, like the women weeping to see this condemned prisoner heading for the Roman gibbet, an account unique to Luke. He says to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." And then later he says, "For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" The latter being a figure of speech, meaning, if they do this to an innocent person, what's going to happen to those who really are guilty? But Jesus is not trying to frighten these women. Yes, he warns them of the upcoming destruction of the city which has failed again and again to accept the invitation of God. But even if it's too late for the city, it is not too late for individuals such as the weeping women. Not too late to recognize that God has sent an innocent man to die for the sins of his people. At the cross, Jesus is crucified, hoisted between two criminals. As he dies to save us, he is mocked for his inability to save. But what does he say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then to the remorseful criminal, he says, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The condemned Jesus is in control. He even controls the eternal destiny of those around him. He has the power to forgive. He is judge over all the earth. Jesus is in charge. But how does he use his power? How does he use his control? He uses it for us. I don't know about you, but if I'm giving control over the situation, I'm going to use that control for selfish reasons. Oh, I may help someone out, you know. But most likely be somebody I know. Somebody I'm fond of. If you give me power, I'm going to use it for me and for mine. Not so Jesus. His is the most powerful expression of determined selflessness the world has ever seen. He uses his power. He exercises control. He determines his destiny. For you and for me. If that does not fill you with great marvel and bottomless gratitude, then nothing will.